Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan, what is Hyperconscious?
Once you understand why something is the way that it is, now you have the power to change it. Great conversations with great people and great questions are the keys to the kingdom of unlocking your consciousness.
Every single action that you do starts as a thought. When you control the way you think, you will control the way you act, and you will control the way you live. That is hyperconscious. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hyperconscious Podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. He was kind enough to join us on episode 144 and 135.
Folks, it has become Kevin and I's mission in life to help you realize that the life of your dreams is right on the other side of you becoming the greatest version of yourself. Let us help you do that.
I rarely do these things twice in such a short amount of time, but you guys impress me. I believe in people that provide value and of our service. You two guys are on your way to huge fulfillment, purpose, and profitability, and I look forward to helping you both.
We appreciate that more than you know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our latest episode where Alan and I sat down and did a 5-minute clinic on what?
The law of familiarity.
The law of familiarity.
He's testing me.
Speaking of familiarity, we are back in the studio after a week of traveling, and it feels good.
It feels really good. So before we jump into this episode.
Oh, this is episode 232, by the way.
BT dubs. Before we jump into this episode, you know what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to join our like-minded community of hyper-conscious, goal-chasing, dream-chasing, exceptional individuals that are super supportive. Go to the hyperconsciouspodcast.com, yeah. Click on join, hashtag hyper-conscious nation. You're going to be prompted with 3 questions that are going to help us cater this content to what you are going through. Please go there.
Yeah.
Also,
if you are looking to bring in some people who are passionate about helping others to speak, hit up your boys.
Perfect. I love it.
Alan and I, one of our main strategic focuses right now is to do as much speaking as we can because, again, I love being on this microphone, but there's something about reaching out and touching somebody after you help them and seeing them smile and laugh and shake their head and nod their head and say, oh, wow, you know, that was really a breakthrough to me. That's something that we want to do more of, and we cannot wait to meet you guys wherever you are.
More impact is what our goal is. Okay, so authenticity.
Yes.
Small talks on the word authenticity. So I looked this up earlier, and authenticity brought me to a different word, which is authentic, because authenticity is a extension of that. So I'm going to read a few definitions. The first definition is not false or copied, genuine, real. And the example they gave is an authentic antique versus like a copied one.
Mm.
Having an origin supported by unquestionable evidence authenticated. So that's like that's less relevant. Okay. Representing one's true nature or beliefs, true to oneself or to the person identified. I love that one a lot. The sentence they gave for that one is a story told in the authentic voice of a Midwestern farmer. So being authentic to yourself, knowing your own message, your own voice, knowing who you are and why you're here, and then staying true to that. The fourth one, actually that one's not good. I'm gonna stick with this one. Representing one's true nature or beliefs, true to oneself or the person identified.
I put a post up the other day that said real can't be faked. So the reason we are talking about authenticity is because that was one of the biggest takeaways from the Influencer 2019 event. Basically, every single speaker said, in order to influence others and grow and scale your business and all that, you have to be unbelievably authentic. And I think in today's social media landscape, there is a lot of inauthentic people.
Oh, yeah.
And unauthenticity?
Kevin makes up words. That's his authentic self.
I think one of the things that Alan and I are very big on and something that we're always trying to like practice is being authentic, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard.
Right.
You are unique. You have your own thought process. You have your own... Every single one of us is so different. And I think that a lot of people run away from what truly makes them authentic because they felt bad about it at a certain time, or they didn't fit in because of it, or somebody made fun of them, or, right. you know, so my takeaway and my goal for you, if you're listening, is authenticity, my goodness, it pays off eventually.
Right.
It might not seem like it's paying off, because if you're trying to compete with people who are being fake, it's going to take you longer, but it'll feel much better, and you'll feel more on purpose, and you'll be proud of yourself the whole entire time.
How do you know when you're being inauthentic?
I think you have to do that hard reflecting of saying, would, not only would best version of me do that, but is that me? Is that me, or was I trying to fit in with my environment? Is that me, or did I allow myself to be, not coerced, not motivated?
Coerced kind of works.
I think
Influenced.
Influenced, right. Yeah. Did something, somebody... Like, did something influence me to be that way, or is that actually who I am?
Here's a perfect example. So if you're trying not to swear that much, I'm trying to dial in my swearing. Sometimes when I'm around people who swear a lot, there's no judgment on it. You do you. I end up swearing more. We have mirror neurons that force us to mirror those that we are in rooms with because we want to stay in rapport with them. We want to stay loved and connected. That's natural. That's why you have to be very discerning about what rooms you stay in. So what's an example of something that you've done recently that you don't think was your authentic self, and what did you do about it? Vulnerable.
I actually think that's probably the best example.
Right, swearing?
Yeah. I mean, we were around a lot of different people, so you tend to pick up on people's speaking patterns and the way they the way they talk and you know.
I just thought about when Anthony Trucks was beatboxing in the hotel, and I was like, yo, Anthony Trucks in the house, yo.
Yo.
All of a sudden, I was gangster.
Right.
Yeah, that's not authentic.
Right. I think that's probably the best one for me is that. We always say puffer fishing.
Right.
Right? Sometimes the thing about authenticity is I think it goes both ways. So you can be in a situation where you're puffer fishing and trying to use your ego to be more powerful, but right. you can also revert.
Mm-hmm.
I ask myself more often when I revert, is this me? Am I myself right now, or am I allowing the environment to influence me to go back? And I don't think a lot of people do that.
What's an example?
When we full transparency.
Disclosure.
I can't talk today. I guess I'm still a little bit fried from all this travel. Full transparency, when Alan and I were at Brant Pivedik's house, they were talking about business, and I don't know what they're talking about at all. And in that moment, when I get overwhelmed, I tend to revert. And I had to say to myself, the authentic version of you just sits here and tries to take this in and adds value where he can. You don't have to puffer fish and say, oh yeah, I watched Undercover Boss once. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
I think a lot of people in that situation, they're not comfortable with being their authentic selves.
Right.
So they do puffer fish. Where I just had to say, okay, I'm reverting. But I think that reversion is natural in this scenario because I don't know where to add value here.
Right.
And Brant's also unbelievably funny, so
yeah,
it's like I don't have to do anything.
It's almost like trying to fake something that you don't have. It's like trying to use a tool that you haven't developed yet.
Right, right. And we've talked about that a lot. Like, you can't.
Right.
How do you use a hammer that you have never used and you're trying to use it under pressure? You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way.
And the people who do have that tool can tell that you're not.
Yeah.
Embodying it.
I think you can get away with being fake for a while, but eventually your true colors will come out. And another reason I think this is a very appropriate episode is because you and I were saying, not only do we want to be great speakers and great podcasters and great coaches, but we want to be great human beings. What you say in private ends up coming out in public eventually.
I know.
So I always want to be my authentic self, especially behind the scenes.
Right.
So when I am put in front of this camera, or somebody walks up to me in the street and says, hey, can you take a selfie? All of that stuff, I can be my authentic self, and people will never be disappointed. I think that's one of the reasons I'm so big on it.
For the listeners out there, whenever you're not being your whole authentic self, it's like Kevin said, one of two things. You're either trying to be something you're not in order to show off or fit in, or you're allowing, you're not showcasing what is true for you. In other words, you're like, you're not stepping up. You're shelling up. So it's a kind of a dance between these two extremes. One person walks into the room and doesn't showcase their value because they're afraid they can't add value here.
Yeah.
Which is where you said
absolutely.
You tend to be.
Absolutely.
The other person is trying to showcase value that they don't actually have. They're trying to pretend they have it. When you leave a room, I kind of feel like dirty, like I need a shower whenever I'm not my authentic self.
Yeah. Like, you can't stay that way for long.
Right. And I think it takes more energy to put on a show than it does to be yourself. But here's the thing. How do you differentiate between, okay, this is who I am now versus, like, I do eventually want to be able to talk business with Brant?
Yeah, that's a great question. Then you use that. You use that pressure in that situation where you had to say, like, who am I actually?
Right.
You use that as motivation to get better. I literally thought to myself, I need to figure out a way to get more book smart when it comes to business. When it comes to that sort of thing, I was actually going to ask you, what would you recommend for that? I was thinking of that. But I think another thing, I lost my train of thought. Oh, if you're in a room with somebody who doesn't have the same values as you, and you want to keep rapport, you kind of have to stretch the level of authenticity.
Oh, it's so rough.
How do you balance that? And how do you know whether or not that's a room you ever want to go back in?
Right. How you feel afterwards? I guess the only answer would be, how clear are you on who you are now, who you aspire to be, and is that room congruent with that? So I used to consider myself a chameleon. So in sales, that was like something we would all pride ourselves on. Like, oh, I can fit in with anybody. The problem is you lose yourself when you're spending so much time with others. I used to spend so much time around other people because, and by the way, this is the interesting thing about sales. The more time you spent with others, the more you won, the more money you made, the more everyone congratulated you. If you work in corporate America or anywhere in the world, really, and you're in sales, when you're making a lot of money, everyone supports that. It's a very money-driven culture, naturally. All businesses need to grow. Making money is a good thing. But the problem is when you're alone, only 10% of your days,
yeah.
The other 90%, you don't know who you are anymore because you're just kind of like a chameleon in the sense of like you're becoming whoever you're in the room with. So you lose your own sort of true north, your own heart's desire. So I think, how clear are you on who you really are today? And how clear are you on who you aspire to be? And are the persons, places, things, and ideas that you're surrounding yourself with congruent with that? And the way you're going to know whether or not they are is, like Kevin said, after the Brant call, or Brant meeting, rather, where Brant and I were really geeking out about business. And I could tell that Kevin, maybe when it comes to his business acumen, has never been in this exact scenario talking about leverage buyouts and that kind of stuff, private equity, whereas I have many times before, so I felt comfortable there. This is a tool that I really do have that I can pull out. If Kevin tried to pull out his business tool, it would have been obvious that he... right? It would have been obvious that he didn't have one and that would be a puffer fish scenario. So instead, he stayed there, he listened, and he learned. And I think that, like he said, he's going to ask me what books he should be reading so that next time, he can be even more competent. And I think this is where the key is. He wants to be more business savvy. Therefore,
yeah.
Maybe that's a room that you do aspire to be in. Just do your own unique Kevin version of that.
I've learned, you and I have been in rooms with people and we'll leave. And going back to the swearing thing, I think that's the most relevant, easiest to notice.
Because
we'll find ourselves just dropping F-bombs just for no reason.
Right.
Just because there's like an extra word I could put in there.
Right.
And that's a conscious effort. And there is this...
Hyperconscious.
Some might say. There is a fine line, like you're talking about. I think real is rare.
Right.
Being your real, authentic self, I feel like it's one of those things that might take longer to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Just like being disciplined and consistent and leading with your heart. Like, those things might take longer to pay off, but it's repeatable, it's scalable, and it's real, so you don't have to change anything.
Mm.
A lot of people get successful on things that aren't them, and then they have to reinvent the wheel, and sometimes the wheels fall off the car. If you're authentic the whole time, if you're doing it for the right reason the whole time, if you're disciplined and learning to be more disciplined, if you're consistent and learning to be more consistent, it's sustainable. And I think that's why I'm so big on it, because I know eventually I'm going to meet you, watching this or listening, And if you yes. leave that room, if you leave that event, if you leave that stage, if you leave that coaching call and you say, I thought he was going to be different than that, I have failed myself and you. And that's something I'm very big on. I want to make sure that I am the person that I say I am.
Your character should be constant.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you.
A minute and 30 here.
We only have a minute and 30. Yeah. So, okay. Super quick. I wanted to make sure we did this. So you and I had a very difficult, challenging, vulnerable conversation in the car.
We did.
That we talked about on previous episodes. Mm-hmm. But it was specifically about how you feel like you used to be okay with some bro-y stuff, for lack of better phrasing, that you no longer want to allow.
Mm-hmm.
So can we go into that briefly from your perspective? And I want two examples. So one, this example, describe what Kevin used to tolerate within himself about like letting some of that stuff rub off on him. And then number two, what's something that you actually do want more of, that you want to become more of your authentic self?
Yeah, I think one of the things we were talking about is I've always been an emotion. I've been somebody who connects on emotion, and I've hung out with a lot of people who were very bro-y, mm-hmm. and they didn't. You and I always joke about being soft, like, oh, he's soft. I am. I'm softer than most dudes when it comes to emotion. And I know Alan's always kidding when him and I are talking about that. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, it's hard for me to be vulnerable with certain people because I'm not your average guy. I don't talk about the things that average guys talk about. I'm not forthcoming with certain things. I'm only comfortable, and I don't know where it came from either. I don't know why.
You mean like talking about sex and stuff?
Yeah, I'm not very. I'm not big on that because to me it's always been like a braggy thing,
right?
And I've never been that way because to me it's about the connection more than anything. But I know when I was put in rooms with people who talked about it that way, I always felt dirty,
right?
If I like chimed in on it, I would feel dirty after because I'm like, that's not me. That's
because you're trying to fit in,
yeah.
Versus stay true.
I was afraid to stand out,
right,
in that room, and that's all. We could do a whole another episode on walking the line of keeping rapport with people in a group,
right?
But now I think I also try to surround myself with people who only do that so I can be my full authentic self.
Right. That's so critical.
It's hard. That's hard. That's difficult. But you have to know and you have to be honest with yourself and say, like, this is why I feel that way. And that was a tough conversation to have for sure.
Yeah, it
but
was.
We learned a lot about each other and ourselves, which
yeah,
is
we did.
Which is super important.
Yeah,
something
did.
That I want to... What was the second question? These multi-part questions.
So that's an example of something that you didn't want to step into to stay your authentic self. What is something that's like, I don't have this, but I want it to be part of my authentic self? It just isn't yet.
Business. Yeah, for
right,
sure. I want to know more about business. I want to know more about money. I find myself helping my clients when it comes to business, you know, but that's because they're very early on in their business careers. I want to be able to add value to everybody. And it's not a muscle that I've been flexing long enough yet. And it doesn't mean I can't.
Right.
I'm genuinely interested so I can have those deep conversations with people and add value in different ways. But again, sometimes you have to get put in that situation where you have to realize, like, is this my authentic self? If I was to speak up right now, is that authentic Kevin or am I puffer fishing?
Exactly.
I'd be puffer fishing. How do I and what do I do in order to be able to be authentic business Kevin?
Right.
And is that it?
What do I have to learn?
What do you think?
I think it's time. Just a quick thing. So on the next Scratching the Surface, I have a dramatic reading from Laurie Harder's book that is very congruent with staying authentic and surrounding yourself with a tribe. Her book's called A Tribe Called Bliss. Surrounding yourself with a tribe that doesn't judge you for being who you really are.
Love it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get out of here. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Up next, like Alan said, we are going to do a scratching the surface episode on having tough conversations. We just talked a little bit about that, how we had several of those, in fact, in California, and I would say that is one of the biggest things that has facilitated growth and change in both Alan and myself, and it's unbelievably important in any relationship, business, personal, intimate, you got to have those talks.
Shout out to Kim Spencer, who said on the episode with Kim and Spike, which we'll be launching in the coming
weeks. Sometime, eventually.
She said, let's unpack this.
Yes.
That's what tough conversations are. Let's unpack this. Let's figure out what's underneath these things. I can't speak English.
Yeah, let's hope we do better in the second one.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyper Conscious Podcast.
Going hyperconscious will absolutely change your life, because if you understand why something is the way it is, now you have the power to change it. If you going hyperconscious with us has changed your life in any way, please share this episode with one of your friends, because the more people that go hyperconscious, the better this world's going to be for everybody.
And if you would kindly leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyperconscious, and we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you.
Bye.